WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Happy Tuesday to you. Welcome into a new week and a new month here on the program. Hope that you had a good Labor Day weekend. Hope that it was relaxing or that you got your final plans of summer. Saw them to completion. I don't know. Some of you probably still say, I take my summer vacation after Labor Day. After all the tourists have gone home. After I have to deal with the traffic and everything else, I can picture some of you taking that approach. Certainly, it's a good approach to take if you have that kind of freedom. But for a lot of people, kids in school and whatnot, yeah, this is the end of it. Back to, as one of my former bosses used to say, every Monday when we would return to work after the weekend, back to reality. I've never met, by the way, Bob, if you're listening, I don't mean to put you out on blast here, but I've never known anybody that loved the weekends as much as that guy did. He lived for the weekends. So hopefully you had a good one. Mine was pretty relaxing. Saturday, I slept a whole bunch. I think it was, you know, just trying to catch up from sleep after my trip to Michigan, where I averaged like 4 hours of sleep a night out there because there was just so much going on. And then all last week I kept saying, oh, I'm going to go to bed early tonight. I'm going to go to bed early. And I never really did. Most nights I ended up going to bed at like 11, 12 o'clock, getting up at 4. So I needed to get caught up. So Saturday, I watched the WWE Premium Live event, Bash in Berlin, which, because it was in Berlin, started at 1 p.m. Got over around 4 p.m. I actually started dozing off in my chair during that event. But then afterwards, I was like, I'm just going to take a little nap. I'm going to take a little nap before I plan my Saturday night. So at 4:30 p.m., I laid down to take a nap, set my alarm for 6 p.m., figured that would be great. An hour and a half, middle of the day. I could still go to bed, stay up late, and still get plenty of sleep in time for Tuesday because I have Monday off. So I went to bed at 4:30 Friday, Saturday afternoon. I didn't get out of bed again until 9:30 Sunday morning. I mean, I got up a few times to use the bathroom and to take necessary medication. But other than that, I just stayed in bed. And it wasn't like I was doing that whole thing where I'm just going to stay in bed and scroll on my phone or read a book. This was just sleeping for 15 hours. So I got all caught up. So that was my nice restful. Yesterday I did some thrifting. Got some good deals, got ready for the week, and now here we are. You know what was really nice is as much as we had some incidents of crime over the weekend, we didn't have anybody get murdered. Because for the last few weeks, that's been the story when we've come back from the weekend. All throughout August, we had to deal with homicides in the city of New Bedford. This weekend, there were a couple of incidents in Fairhaven, as you heard Phil telling you about. But thankfully, nothing that ended with anybody being seriously injured. There was someone who was shot on Saturday, but that turned out to be non-life-threatening injuries. And then thankfully, yesterday's incident in the barricading of the suspect turned out peacefully. And although the police didn't say this in their release they put out yesterday, the belief is that this is the same person who has been behind a number of incidents that have happened in that neighborhood. A person that suffers from mental illness. But you can never take anything for granted, especially when you're dealing with mental illness. So even though previous issues have led to peaceful resolutions, you can't go into it assuming that that's going to be the case. So kudos to the Fairhaven Police Department for the work they did in de-escalating that situation and spending 4 hours working on that de-escalation. And I'm sure as much as, you know, I saw all the comments on social media, and as much as people are tired of hearing about this person and their issues, I'm sure police are tired of having to deal with it as well, but there's only so much that can be done. And maybe this incident will lead to a permanent resolution. Maybe this person can get the help that they need. Of course, it is primary day in Massachusetts. As Phil mentioned, the big race is who will be the Republican challenger to Liz Warren. There was a recent poll I was reading about this morning that said that none of the Republican challengers are showing the possibility of defeating Liz Warren in the general election, but that doesn't really mean anything when it's still a primary battle. When this person will have another 2 months to campaign against her. Now, granted, it's difficult for a Republican to win that office, but it's not impossible. And if you remember the last election that Liz Warren faced, she won re-election, claiming to be fighting for Massachusetts, and immediately focused on national issues, including a presidential campaign. So maybe people have just had enough. So that'll be an interesting race to keep an eye on. And then, of course, locally, we have a number of races to keep an eye on, especially with the stepping aside of a few local politicians. Who's going to replace Mark Pacheco? Who's going to replace Bill Strauss? And certainly for a majority of our listening audience, the Strauss issue is a bigger one. Mark Montigny has a Democratic challenger, nobody running on the Republican side, but I think most folks are looking at, you know, nothing against Molly Keeby, but most people are looking at that race as being a victory for Mark Montigny. So I guess really the big local race, at least in terms of, you know, our listenership and what they've been calling in and talking about, especially with Chris McCarthy, is this showdown for the Republican ballot spot between Bob McConnell and Joe Pyers for the Bill Strauss seat. And certainly I would say, you know, driving around, and I did a lot of driving around the South Coast this weekend, I would say Joe Pyers has the edge in terms of signage. saw a lot of Joe Pyre signs throughout the South Coast. Now, I didn't go east, so I wasn't driving through Marion, Mattapoisett, Rochester, where I'm assuming there's even more signs. I'm talking just through the New Bedford area. Fairhaven. So I think in terms of getting his name out there, Pyres has the advantage. He also has the advantage of having been in the news quite a bit the last few years with the Old Rochester School Committee and the issues that they had over books and the fact that there is a, I don't know if I'll call it a group in town. Well, yeah, there's a group, but there's a number of people who have, you know, targeted him as being someone who should not be elected to a higher office. So I think he has the name advantage. As much as, you know, Bob McConnell has gotten involved in the last few years, I think he was, I would just guess, and I didn't look at the OCPF filings, and I'm sure Chris knows it off the top of his head better than I do. I'm going to guess he got outspent by Joe Pyres. But then the question becomes, where do you go from here? It's going to be hard to, well, I mean, I guess it's not impossible to win the seat if you are Republican. Just it's been held by Strauss for so long that maybe people are looking for a change. But these are some of the races, the marquee races of the South Coast heading into today. So, yes, today is the primary. And then just about 2 months from now, November 5th, is the general election. I saw a story that said Bill Galvin is predicting a 15% turnout for this primary because across the state, there aren't a lot of highly contested races. There are a few here and there, but not an overwhelming abundance of them. The other part of it, too, is although Galvin downplayed this, I don't think having a primary the day after the holiday helps. He said he doesn't see it as being something that would affect it, but I definitely think so. As people are trying to get back into the swing of things, the last thing they're thinking about is voting. I'm sure many of them didn't think to vote early for the primary, whether in person or through a mail-in ballot. So now they're stuck with having to find the time in their day to be able to get out and cast their vote. And unfortunately, for many people, when the day gets away from them, because it's the first day back to work after a 3-day weekend, maybe after a full vacation, then they're not thinking about having to get out there. Or if they are, and the day keeps building up in terms of what they've got to do, they say, well, it's just the primary. So I think 15% might be a little bit generous. Whether or not that translates, I mean, I'm sure we'll have a better turnout with the presidential election at the top of the ticket in November. But how many of those local races will have people fired up when there are so many races that are uncontested at the state and local level? And you can just go to the Secretary of State's website, Secretary of the Commonwealth's website, and see all of the races and see exactly how many candidates there are. And you'll see a lot of, you know, no candidate races. So there's one person running And that's it. Uncontested races. So if you aren't sure where to go to vote, you can go to your town's website, your city's website. They'll have all the information there. You can call the city election office or the town clerk's office where you live, and they'll be able to give you that information. Just be patient. It is going to be a busy day. Even if it's not going to be a huge turnout, there's still a lot of things that go on during the course of the day. Just because a lot of people might not be turning out to vote, they still have just as many polling stations to be concerned with, poll workers to help out, questions to answer. So just try to be patient if you are trying to get a hold of someone. And of course, make sure that you do have your plan in place for November 5th so that you can make sure that you go out and vote in, I know they say it every election, but the most consequential election of our time. I feel like that's every election, though. Has there ever been an election where you said, man, the stakes are low in this presidential race? Maybe 1984? Maybe that was the last time someone said, we've got this under control. We don't need to be concerned about the future of America. Because certainly every presidential race that I've voted in has had the most consequential election of our time, as its tagline. 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails on the WBSM app. We're going to take our first break of the morning, and we'll be back in just a few moments. And welcome back. And of course, you should tell her about it. And coming up in just a few seconds, Phil Devitt's going to tell us about it, at least when it comes to all the news. And of course, if you want to react to it on the other side, you can give me a call, 508-996-0500, app chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. A reminder, too, that if you want to wish anybody a happy birthday, you can send that open line voicemail as well. Of course, I could say it, but it sounds so much better when it's you saying it on the radio. And you can just record it and send it all over. One of the many great features on the app brought to you by our friends at South Coast Towing. But now it is time to go into the newsroom and get all the top stories of the day from Phil Devitt.
Protests in New York City calling for a ceasefire in the Israel-Hamas war. Eyes on Massachusetts for primary day. And a hot dog showdown, one eater emerges victorious.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Hundreds of demonstrators set off smoke bombs at a protest in New York City Monday as they demanded a ceasefire in Israel's war against Hamas in Gaza. They took to the streets after the bodies of six more hostages were recovered over the weekend, among them American-Israeli Hirsch Goldberg Polin. In Israel, the number of protesters has been in the hundreds of thousands. Today is primary day here in Massachusetts. The main event is the three-way battle for the Republican nomination for U.S. Senate and the right to challenge incumbent Democrat Elizabeth Warren in November. Recent polls have shown Warren with large leads against any of the three Republican hopefuls as she seeks a third term in the Senate. One person is in custody after four sleeping passengers were shot and killed on a CTA Blue Line train in West Suburban Forest Park, Illinois. Police called the incident horrible.
It's definitely something that you don't want to wake up to. You know, it's a Monday morning on a holiday. Everyone's supposed to be, you know, enjoying their time off, time with their families. It's Labor Day, you know, so to actually have to be here, you know, to address a situation like this.
Officers responded yesterday morning to the station and four people were found shot inside a train. Three of the victims died on the scene, the fourth pronounced dead at the hospital. Chicago police found the suspect on another train. A firearm was recovered and an investigation continues. The Communications Workers of America walking away from the table in negotiations with AT&T. The union released a statement Monday night saying it's no longer interested in mediation with the communications company. The union believes mediation was a delay tactic and asks AT&T to get serious so that employees can get back to work. Over 17,000 employees are on strike in the Mid-South. SpaceX is hoping to successfully launch its latest historic mission later this week after a series of delays. Tammy Trujillo reports.
The Federal Aviation Administration says Polaris Dawn is set to lift off on Wednesday from the Kennedy Space Center with a backup planned on Thursday. The mission carrying four civilian astronauts was initially set for August 26th, but was postponed due to helium leaks and bad weather. The FAA cleared SpaceX flights over the weekend after they were grounded amid an investigation into its Falcon 9 rockets. The Polaris Dawn mission is the first of three planned space flights and is expected to include the first ever commercial spacewalk. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
And American competitive eater Joey Chestnut claiming victory in Netflix's unfinished beef hot dog eating contest. The Labor Day competition ended with Chestnut beating competitor Takiro Kobayashi from Japan. The two hadn't faced off in 15 years. Chestnut chowed down 83 hot dogs in 10 minutes, while Kobayashi was able to get down 66. And Chestnut beat his own record of 76 dogs, walking away with a $100,000 grand prize.
WBSM Sports.
Well, Red Sox lost to the New York Mets yesterday 4-1. Three-game set rolls on tonight at 7:10. The Bill O'Brien era began for Boston College football last night with an upset road win over Florida State. Eagles won 28-13. O'Brien has past head coaching experience in the NFL and in college at Penn State, and most recently was an assistant with the Patriots. And we're now 5 days away from the Sunday Patriots season opener on the road with the Cincinnati Bengals.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Good to be with you, everybody, on this Tuesday morning. Boy, is it chilly outside. You are going to need a sweater this morning. Sunny skies, however, temperatures barely in the mid-50s, climbing to the low 70s by the afternoon with plenty of sunshine. Clear skies overnight tonight, and the temperature is just a tad cooler in the upper 40s, mid-70s, and sunny for tomorrow. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Cecil Carmen on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
Weather on WBSM is brought to you by SeaStreak. Whether it's a daycation or a staycation, get there with SeaStreak. Visit SeaStreak.com for reservations to Martha's Vineyard or Nantucket. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station WBSM and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Welcome back in. I think that's my favorite Huey Lewis song, and I like all of them, but I think that's my favorite out of all of them. So some sad news. If you are familiar with some of those 60s surfing movies, and I know some of you probably forgot all about them, and every once in a while they pop on TV and you say, oh yeah, I used to watch this movie. But there was a time when surf movies were all the craze. And there was a time when I was a kid in the 80s when they made a big comeback. When you would turn on Channel 56 on a Saturday or probably a Sunday afternoon, and you would see surfing movies. Frankie and Annette and all the teen idols of the time. Because in the 80s, we had a couple of reasons. Frankie and Annette came back with that movie Back to the Beach, which I don't remember anything about it, but I remember seeing it probably a dozen times when I was a kid. But I don't remember anything about it except for Pee Wee Herman singing Surfin' Bird. Other than that, I cannot tell you anything about the movie. I probably haven't seen it in 30 years. No, more than that. Probably like 35 years. I'm sure it's on Tubi or one of those streaming platforms. Maybe I'll revisit it someday. But we had that movie. And then we had the Gidget revival series that was syndicated in the 80s. But not with Sally Field. I believe it was Karen Richmond, if I remember correctly. So that kind of brought back some of these surf movies. And one of the teen idols of the surf craze, James Darren, has passed away at the age of 88. He died in his sleep at a Los Angeles hospital. He was supposed to have had, this is according to the Hollywood Reporter, he was supposed to have had aortic valve replacement but was too weak for the surgery. And his son said, I always thought he would pull through because he was so cool. He was always cool. And after he became famous for his acting and his singing, he became a television director, directing shows such as Beverly Hills 90210 and Melrose Place. But he will forever be remembered as the original Moondoggy in the original Gidget movie, which starred Sandra Dee. Gidget really had a hold on those. Gidget probably survived the surf craze more than anything. Went from being, I think, a couple of movies, right? To a 60s TV series, to an 80s revival series. I'm surprised it hasn't been rebooted. I could see that coming someday. Although the explanation for why she was called Gidget probably wouldn't work anymore. Because if you remember, it was Girl Midget. I don't think they could use that explanation anymore since it's not a politically correct term. But so James Darren has passed away at the age of 88. So if you have a free couple of hours, I'm sure you can find Gidget streaming somewhere and give it a watch in his memory. But there, it's hard to believe there was a time that surf culture took over America so strongly in the early 60s. Between the surf films, the Beach Boys music, and all the other surf bands. And it wasn't like it went away either, because surf music influence remains to this day. I mean, how many drummers were inspired by The Who's Keith Moon, who was a surf drummer? Who were trying him out, and they said, how is this going to work? We can't have a surf drummer in a rock band. 508-9, and it worked out pretty well. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning, Mr. Weisberg.
How you doing? How was your weekend?
I'm good. I guess you had a nice couple of days, huh?
Yeah, relaxing, you know.
I know, you certainly got a lot of sleep. That's good.
I had to catch up, yeah. I'll have trouble sleeping all this week, I'm sure, because of it, but.
That helps your immune system a lot, getting a lot of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So, James Darren, 88. I can't even picture him at 88. I just remember the way he was. Good-looking guy.
I saw a photo of him in somewhat recent years, and he didn't look that much different than he did back in the 60s.
Really? Same hair, doing everything?
Yeah.
So, in Fairhaven, that hostage situation turned out okay?
Yeah, they police didn't say so, but it seems to be a person that's been called. They've been called out there for multiple instances with him. He suffers from mental illness. So, I mean, of course, you've got to take everything seriously. But I think what really would help is if there could be something done to help this man. But it doesn't seem like that's something that can happen.
Well, at least he didn't hurt anybody. You know, lately in the news, I've been noticing it. Sahaven's starting to have problems. I hope it doesn't get as bad as New Bedford. Gosh.
Well, I think this weekend, certainly, they had some issues.
Yeah, yeah. I've been listening. I said, well, what's going on in Sahaven? I'd love to go back up there. I mean, I lived in that area for around 7 years. That was over 10 years ago, though. I noticed that Carlos has been out there, and he's filming again. He kind of cut back a little bit for a little while. I don't know. Things have changed for what he does. He used to be out there all the time, and now it's here and there.
I think he goes wherever the scanner calls him.
I have a question now. The train. Now, that train track is practically right outside my window. Right where the wheels tooth, I can see the whole wheels tooth parking lot. Mm-hmm. And I see them take it out almost regularly, almost like an everyday practice kind of a thing. They take it out and they go down the track. It seems to not go far because it stops. And when it stops, I can still see it. It's down somewhere near the Warm Sutter Apartments. And maybe it might go as far as Logan Street. But the thing is, once in a while, it disappears for a long while. Then it comes back and it gets put away again. This goes every day. My question is, we're going through a lot here as it is with the speed racing, motorcycles and everything on Route 18 outside of my window. Mm-hmm. Now, when we're going to hit the trains, I don't know. I'm asking. It's not that I'm stupid. I just don't know about trains. Do they run overnight, too?
Probably not. These are going to be, because it's a commuter rail, it's going to run commuter hours. They are going to have some weekend service, but I don't think you'll see trains that are going to be running too late at night. Definitely not overnight, but I think, you know, I think you'll probably see like a 7 p.m. train being the latest. You know, something coming back at 7 p.m. will probably be the latest that you see.
Oh, that's not too bad. I'm glad to hear that because I didn't know.
It's just a guess, though, because they haven't released any schedules yet.
Yeah. I noticed all summer that by the last quite a while summer's gone by that we don't see the trolleys on Sundays and stuff like we used to. And did they still have them? Are they stored anywhere? Or are they just never going to use them again?
I think they probably aren't using them because they have Sunday bus service now.
Yeah, I know. And it was free for, I know. People have been taking advantage of that.
I think I saw the bus service is going to be free to June of 25 now.
Yes, that's incredible. That's wonderful. I know I have a lot of friends that are taking great advantage of that. But the trolleys, I mean, they were nice, wonderful rides. And, you know, it's open. There's no windows or anything. It's beautiful. I can't stand the thought that they're just locked away somewhere like that.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Because the buses are running, why can't they put one or two out once in a while?
Oh, that's just my guess. I don't know if that's the reason why. That's just me speculating.
What?
I said that was just me speculating. I don't know if that's actually the reason why.
What was the reason? Oh, about the buses?
Yeah, I was just speculating on that.
Oh.
But we'll see if we can find anything out.
I'm leaving for my walk. I'm getting out in the sun. I hope you're getting some good exercise lately. You taking your bike out? No?
No, I did. I took a walk over the weekend, but I was thinking about taking the bike out. But I said, nah, I'm going to walk because I got to do that. I'm doing the Podkawa 5K.
Oh, yes, I know.
In a month, so I want to get my walking in to get build up for it.
Of course. I bet you can't wait for that, huh?
Yeah, should be fun.
Oh, yeah. That's wonderful. Well, have a good day.
You as well.
Thank you.
And bye. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, my friend.
How you doing?
Sometimes I listen to her, and I'm like, wow, she is like so focused on what's going on in that city. And I disagree or agree sometimes, but she is so focused, and I like that. Have the Sunday service. 30 years ago, it wasn't even here, and it stopped. So this management company came out of Long Island, New York, and the young man who's running it is younger than me, so I call him a young man. But I believe they've done really well, and they've added a few extra hours. They're going later at night. We're getting pretty good. as you can't go back. So we're doing really good. So as far as the stuff that happened this past weekend in New Bedford, and I like what you said, the last month, war homicides, this stuff that happened this weekend wasn't nice, but it's okay. As far as that gentleman down there in Fairhaven, somebody in his family just had to step up and maybe section him, give him something like this. It's gone on 4 or 5 times, and I have friends and family that live down in that same area, so it's like somebody should just step up and just really reach out to them. Sometimes it's not their fault. Mental illness is mental illness, but it still puts a problem on the community, and it brings a lot of fear and a lot of anxiety to people down there, so...
Yeah, it certainly puts a strain on public resources for sure, and also you don't know. I mean, I know it's easy to say. You see people commenting on social media. Oh, it's that guy again. Well, you know, it's going to turn out to be nothing, but you can't guarantee that.
Absolutely, and so my football team, we're 8-0, and we're undefeated, and we got a game in a couple of weeks down in Connecticut. And even if we lose that game, we've been confirmed we're going to be the number one seed in our league. So I want to reach out to you and Rock, and maybe we can do something with the football team, because we still have some of the players and coaches from locally. So
yeah, well, he's the guy to talk to about it for sure.
Always a pleasure, my friend.
All right, have a good day. And 508-996-0500, if you want to call in and chime in, app chat and open line voicemails in the WBSM app. I've got to take a break right here. We'll be right back. And welcome back in. So we have one more day today that we can take entries, I should say, to enter to win a pair of tickets to see James Taylor at MGM Music Hall at Fenway. We have tickets to give away for September 9th and September 10th, and they are standing room only. So today, during the show, is the last time that you can enter to win those tickets. We're going to pick our final winner today, and then a little bit later on today, we'll have your chance to enter to win tickets to our next contest that we're giving away tickets to. It is a chance to see the Marley Brothers at Xfinity Center on Thursday, September 26th. And it's, of course, all of the sons of the great Bob Marley. So Steven, Ziggy, Julian, Kaimani, Damien, they're all going to be performing together on September 26th. And we have your shot at winning tickets. So that'll be up later on today, because I want to make sure we have one more day of the James Taylor giveaway. And then we'll go into the Marley Brothers. And then we've got so much more planned. So not only do I have a full slate of ticket giveaways already ahead of me, but we've gotten some tickets to some other stuff over the past week or so that we're going to add into the mix. So there might be some weeks where we're running two contests. And you know what? I'm fine with that. The more, the merrier. So if you want to enter to win the final pair of James Taylor tickets, you can do so right now by going to WBSM.com or the WBSM app. And then later on today, we'll switch that out and we'll have your chance to enter to win tickets to see the Marley Brothers. Right now, I've got to take one final break for this hour. We'll be back in a few moments. And I promise you, I'm not rickrolling you. We will be back coming up after the news. We do have to take a break for the ABC News and then your South Coast News with Phil Devitt. But on the other side of that, we'll talk more with you at 508-996-0.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.